Thank you for downloading the Broadmead Community Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy it.
Thank you very much. Let's pray. Father God, as we open your word this morning, I pray that you would bring alive your word to us, that you would open our hearts to hear from you this morning. Father God, we desire not just to believe in you, but we desire to be your disciples, to live the way you lived, to walk the way you walk, to be more like you each and every day. And we pray as we continue this season of looking at what that means. And as we open Romans 12 again, Lord God, we thank you for every single word that's in that chapter that's just rich with meaning for us today. Bless it to us, we pray. Amen. As I said, we're going through Romans 12, and some of you are reading this book. If you've ordered a book and you haven't picked it up yet, they're available at the back there with your name on it. Please don't take a book that hasn't got your name on it. I have one book left, and I'm hoping that I haven't forgotten someone who's ordered it. So, has anyone not got a book yet that would like one? Okay, Claire, can you catch? I'm worried I'm going to take someone's eye out. That's a free one for you there, Claire. And if someone comes to me and said, I didn't get my copy, they'll be chasing you down, Claire. Okay. So as we navigate through this year of discipleship, our theme is disciple, be one, make one. What we want to try and get across is that it's not just about believing in Jesus. In some senses, that's the easy part, because actually Jesus died for us and rose again, and we receive this free gift, and it's all about grace. And actually, believing is, in some senses, is the easy part. The hard part is living it out day by day. You see, we can all say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but if it's not the fruit there day by day, is that really being what a Christian is about? Being a Christian is following Jesus, doing the things he did, saying the things he said, living like he does. And so as we navigate through this whole year, and as we particularly focus on Romans 12, I want to give you a challenge today to all of you church people. See, when we're in church, we often talk about Jesus who came to earth to introduce the kingdom of God. It's in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We talk about the kingdom of God. I talked about it when I was talking about BMAC. This is part of God's kingdom. Okay. He was the king who came to reverse the order of things. And so to follow Jesus then, when Jesus was around, and to follow Jesus now requires each and every one of us to live in a different direction, to some extent to be counterculture, not to be squeezed into the mold of the culture around us, but as Romans 12 says, to be transformed. We're called to live differently, walk differently, be different. And here lies the problem. Here lies the challenge. Here is the uncomfortable bit. One of the things we discover, which is true, is that God has a kingdom. Some of you can nod to that if you wish, but I think we agree. Yeah, God has a kingdom. Yeah, okay. Most of you are convinced about that. But as Dallas Willard said, you have a kingdom. Did you know that? Did you know that there are two kingdoms? God has a kingdom. But there's also the kingdom of Adam. And God's kingdom is where what God wants to happen, happens. The range of his will. And Adam's kingdom is very much like that. It's where what happens, where Adam wants to happen, happens. There's God's kingdom and there's my kingdom. There's God's kingdom and there's your kingdom. And in God's kingdom, what God wants to happen happens. And in my kingdom, what I want to happen happens. And the influence of my kingdom doesn't just extend just to my family, but to my friends and to the people I buy stuff off and to people I interact with and do church with. And it's how I use my money and it's how I spend my time and it's who I like and love and serve. And Adam's kingdom spreads out. There are ripples, just like when you throw a stone into a pond. And when Jesus invites us into discipleship, when Jesus invites us to walk with him, another way of putting it is that he invites you to join your kingdom with his kingdom and surrender your kingship. God has given each and every one of us a great deal of power and responsibility. To quote Uncle Ben in the Spider-Man movie. And we can do or not do what we like with it. But if we want to be about building God's kingdom, then we will bring our kingdom under the reign of God's. We will join with his kingdom so that God's kingdom has the same reach as ours and beyond. So much so that when people see us, they don't see our kingdom, they see God's kingdom at work. That's what Paul meant in Romans 12, verse 1, when he talks about living sacrifices. Paul uses a vivid, indeed shocking idea that you must put your whole self and lay it on the altar like the sacrifice in the temple. We are to surrender our lives. Another way of putting that is we are to give up the kingship of our own kingdom. But the enormous difference is that whereas the sacrifice in the temple is killed, our self-offering is actually all about coming alive with new life that bursts out in unexpected ways once our own self has been put to death. An animal sacrifice on the altar is killed. But when we sacrifice ourselves, we come alive in a way like never before. It begins with each one of us making a self-offering of our whole selves to God. And then in the next section, which we're going to look at in Romans 12, it talks about what that might look like within a church family. So if you have your Bibles with you or your phones or whatever device you use to read the Bible, let's turn to Romans 12, verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, imagine, if you will, seven friends who have arranged to meet at 10 o'clock the next morning. It had been a late night the night before, and they'd all been excited. And now they were a little apprehensive at how they were going to take the project forward. You see, the night before they discovered that they were all interested in gardens. Interested to the point of being ready, all of them, to give up their various jobs that they had present and work together at this new business. There wasn't a proper garden centre for 20 miles in every direction. There was clearly a gap in the market. The question was, how were they going to get started? Who was going to do what? Jeff and Ruth were both natural leaders. They quickly realised, and the others agreed, that they should coordinate the whole project. Jeff had all kinds of contacts in the business world, both in the area and in London. He could talk through strategy with people who gave him good advice, and he would keep a sharp eye on the larger picture. Ruth had worked in the bank for 20 years and would be the obvious choice to manage the financial side of the business. Meanwhile, Thomas, who could never look after his own money, let alone anyone else's, was itching to start growing things, especially vegetables, and was delighted when the rest of the group agreed he should look after that section of the new business. Rebecca was also a keen gardener, and since she was a little girl, she loved to grow flowers and shrubs, and so that's what she did. Jez was one of life's most natural handymen. Give him a few minutes, he could put up a fence, fix a lawnmower, make a display cabinet, and repair a broken wheelbarrow. They were going to need him, all right. Matt knew the county like the back of his hand. In his previous job, he learnt the art of encouraging people to buy things that they hadn't originally needed, knew they wanted. He would get out on the road and find new business. And Richard, the last of the seven. There was a bit of an awkward pause. What could he do? He wasn't particularly good with his hands, though he loved gardens and was just as keen on the business as the rest of them. Richard had an academic background, but he didn't want to pursue it. He was everyone's best friend in the group, the one who made everyone else smile. Suddenly, they realised Richard would be the key person in the main office to greet people as they came in, organise all the paperwork and the files and write up reports. He would keep them happy and the customers as well. And from that moment on, the business was launched. Everyone knew what they were to do. And you may be thinking, if only it could be like that in church. And it should be. And it can be. Our passage here says today, God gives different people different gifts that are needed for the work of the gospel to flourish. And this is partly a matter of what we might call natural temperament. There are things that people are naturally good at. Some people are natural leaders. Some people are born teachers. Others are naturally open and generous-hearted people. But it's also a matter of grace, as Paul says in the passage. God's grace often enhances the abilities and inclinations people already have. But sometimes, when God's Spirit takes over someone's life, new gifts emerge that neither they nor anyone else imagined before. It is still an absolute gift of God every Sunday when I stand up in front of you. Because as a child, I was excruciatingly shy. The worst thing that could happen in secondary school was when we had to read a paragraph each out loud. It was agony. But by the grace of God, I can stand in front of you lovely people and string a few sentences together and you deem to come back next week. It's vital that the church should recognize and value these different gifts, and that those to whom has been given should place them in service of the church as part of your sacrificial self-offering spoken of just a few minutes ago. But if you've been hanging around churches for any length of time, you know there's a problem. It isn't always as easy as the garden centre illustration. Sometimes there are people who are absolutely determined that they should be running the vegetable section, when everyone else knows perfectly well that it would be a disaster and are much better out on the road selling to new customers. Sometimes in churches, people speak of my ministry in the tone of voice which says that whether or not the rest of the church wants to recognize it, God has given them a particular task and the church has a responsibility to provide them with an opportunity to fulfill it, whether it makes any sense or not. Or equally, it can happen within a church, for whatever reason, that they remain blind and deaf to what God is saying through a particular person and never benefit from the grace that God wants to pour out through them. Having said all that, it is wonderful to see the way in which God does indeed provide different graces and gifts. And the church does indeed benefit. Verses 6 to 8 there list some of them. And we should know that it's not a sense that some are more important than others. We all, every single one of you, has a part to play. And most of the tasks mentioned here by Paul involve hard work. And Paul encourages his readers to get ready for it. The passage has a kind of roll up your sleeves kind of aspect to it. It's about showing up faithfully and getting involved. Find out what the task is and give yourself to it properly. Plan the work, think it through, get ready, get up early, get on with it. Expect to work until you're tired and keep at it, even in the days when you don't feel in the mood for it. You see, you can't just play at it when you feel like it. The Christian service isn't a hobby, though some people treat it like that. It's a divine calling. And if that calling is to make cups of coffee before church, it needs to be done with energy, flair, excellence, and care. Let's all see our role as vital and pour everything into it. Let me use an example yesterday of the event that we held here in the cafe. Easter extravaganza. It was a huge success. How many people here came along? Yeah, a few of you. Okay, well, the rest of you missed out, sorry. But I understand it was a great success and was well attended, and people have been telling me how well it went. But can I tell you this? That event didn't start happening at 10 o'clock. There's been weeks of planning. The team turned up early to make sure the urn was on and the coffee was on, all the doors were open and the signs were out and everything was right. They then prayed together, I hope. And they prayed for those people who were coming together that morning. You see, when we do things, these things don't just happen. They take hard work. They take commitment. They take faithfully showing up when some of others of you were still in bed. That's the reality of it. They got ready. They prayed because on that morning they were serving as part of the body of Christ, and it was the divine calling. However, some of us are tempted to not do our service in the same way. You see, God doesn't see any difference between what a person leading worship does on a Sunday and what a person does in serving communion or serving coffee or leading the children or welcoming people. It is all service to him. So let us do it to the best of our ability with passion and do it wholeheartedly as if we are serving the Lord himself, not just filling a gap on the rota. So here is today's discipleship challenge. Make sure you are serving the church family in some way, according to your talents and God-given grace gifts. This is not optional. Yes, there are different seasons, and for some people, they can't serve today the way they'd served a year ago because of health reasons. But find another way. If you're stuck at home, be praying. Be a prayer warrior. Life circumstances do dictate, but there are always opportunities. See, discipleship is not a spectator sport. Get involved. Otherwise, we miss out, and you miss out, and the body misses out, and your kingdom is not totally surrendered to God's kingdom. And if you're serving, as I said already, give it everything. It's a sacrifice. It isn't easy. It's turning up and putting others' needs before yours. So prepare, pray, turn up early, ready to be part of the team, and then serve in generosity and grace. Please don't treat it as if it means nothing. It means everything, and it needs your best. We need you to join in, to get involved, play your part, do it with love, be devoted, honour each other, don't be lazy, be passionate, be patient, contribute to the needs of others, do hospitality. But I'm going to stop there because I'm rushing ahead, and Mary's going to preach all about that next week, because that's the next part of Romans 12. But let's respond this morning. Mary has named most of these sermons after reggae hits that I'm assuming she enjoys in her house. This one is a Bob Marley, Let's Get Together and Feel All Right. But I think that that is more prophetic than maybe we realise. Because Paul describes us here as the body of Christ. And if you're missing, we could be missing an arm, or a vital organ, or an ear, or an eye, or whatever. And we're not going to feel all right. So let's get together. Let's get together and feel all right as the body of Christ, serving different gifts, different areas, but serve according to what God has given you. And if you're not sure what God has given you, very soon we're going to be running a course which will help to identify your gifts and your talents and your passions so that you can find a place to serve. We've also got the board out there, the Couch to 5K ministry. Some of you have been, you know, not being able to serve during the last 2 years, and you may feel like you need to just get back in and do the 100 metres or 200 metres and then walk the rest. That's fine. There's great ways there. Just tear off, read all about the ways that all the teams that are looking for people. But let's be a church that gets together and feel all right. Because we need every single one of you to serve in a sacrificial, self-giving, loving, turning up faithfully way, surrendering our will to the will of God and his kingdom. Let's close your eyes for a moment, if you will. And I just, before we go into communion, which reminds us of someone who did give up everything for us, I just want to give you four C's this morning, four C's to think about. The first one is, what's the challenge that God's bringing you today? And if you're anything like me, once you start getting a challenge, you start getting the excuses as well. So I just want you to ignore the excuses at the moment, ignore the reasons why. What's the challenge that God's giving you today? What's the challenge God's giving you today? What is the change that might need to happen? Might be in your schedule or in your attitude or in your willingness to be involved, or might be a change in just surrendering your kingship once again. So what's the challenge? What's the change? What is the claim that God has on your life? What's the claim that God has on your life? And the final C is, what is the call? What are you going to do about this? What is God calling you into this morning? What's the challenge? What's the change? What's the claim that God has on your life? And what's the call? We're just going to have a few moments of quiet while you just allow the Holy Spirit to prompt you, speak over you, and you respond to that this morning.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not check us out on all social media platforms or visit broadmead.org.uk.